welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us. Well, today we're doing something a little bit different. We're going to do an all-mailbag show. If you've got a question for us, just email us, radio@agphd.com. Darren and I have been out traveling, doing a lot of meetings with farmers, speaking around the country. So we haven't been able to keep up on the mailbag. And just so you know, we get all these emails in. We get a few letters too, but mostly emails. And we print out every email just to make sure that we see it right in front of us during the show. The stack that's sitting in front of Darren right now is very large.
All right, let's get to it.
Let's do it.
First thing.
It's the mailbag.
First question from Susan. I think you guys were talking about Liberty and something you mix with it to make it work better.
Ammonium sulfate.
How much do you mix, and are there times where you do it and where you don't?
You always do it. 3 pounds to the acre. Now, we've heard a few people in the South say, well, it gives us more leaf burn when we add the 3 pounds of ammonium sulfate because we're hot and humid. You know what? In the middle of summer, a lot of places are hot and humid. We do see this issue. I just tell you this, it's cosmetic. Don't get too worried about it if you see a little bit of leaf burn out there because of the ammonium sulfate and some of the oils that are in Liberty. It's going to be fine. Really shouldn't be a problem. It's on label, 3 pounds of ammonium sulfate. It's needed to make the Liberty work because it is actually that nitrogen that's in there is, not to go clear into the biology or the chemistry on this, but I just say it is very important. It's part of the process. You got to have it in there. Don't use some AMS replacement product. Use actual ammonium sulfate. That's how you make it work best. 3 pounds to the acre.
All right. Thanks for the question, Susan. This one comes from Murray, who says, I went to your soils clinic, and then I went home and was working on a spreadsheet to figure out what I need to do based on the optimal values that you were talking about. But a couple questions for you. You talked about zinc and you talked about copper in relation to phosphorus.
Yes.
Which phosphorus number do you use to compute that?
Or to compute that? Yeah. So what we were showing is all malic 3 numbers. So malic 3 phosphorus, malic 3 zinc, malic 3 copper. Now, we've also found this to be...
And that is phosphorus in parts per million?
Yep. Phosphorus in parts per million to zinc in parts per million to copper in parts per million. Okay. Now, we've also found this to be pretty close. And what we're talking about is a 10-to-1 ratio of phosphorus to zinc and a 30-to-1 ratio of phosphorus to copper. Now, it doesn't have to be exactly that. Okay. Just in the general ballpark, and you're probably good enough. But what we found is if we go far above it or far below that, it is hurting yield. We got tens of thousands of data points to prove that now. But anyway, we've also found these numbers to be pretty close if you're using P1 phosphorus, so that'd be the weak Bray test, and DTPA zinc or DTPA copper. Okay, so we prefer running malic 3 zinc, malic 3 copper, malic 3 phosphorus, all in parts per million. Or, like I say, you could do P1 weak Bray phosphorus along with DTPA zinc and DTPA tests for copper.
All right, next one from Jonathan. He said, all right, guys, products like Pivot Bio's Proven 40, things that are supposed to bring in nitrogen into the plant.
Yep.
I'm curious about a couple of things. Sure. First of all, does wet or dry soil affect the viability of the microbes? And what about...
Wait.
On sandy soil with CEC less than 10.
Go back. What you said, micros. What micros?
Microbiology.
Microbes. Okay. I was completely lost there. Wet or dry, I don't know. Haven't seen any tests. As far as we know, it doesn't matter. And as far as sand, again, I haven't seen any tests where it's heavy versus heavy soil versus sand. But I'll put it this way. We have tested these things in a variety of different conditions in a variety of different soil types. We haven't seen a lot of difference in the response, sand versus clay, wet versus dry. But we also haven't done years of testing and thousands of tests or anything like that. But we have found that products like Proven 40 work. The challenge is, number one, you have to make sure nitrogen's a limiting factor. If it's not, if you already have enough nitrogen there, it's not going to help you. That's what we've been able to prove. But the other thing about that is, how do you know how much nitrogen you have there, and how do you know how much nitrogen you need? I always bring that up to people, like, heck, even late in the season. I go, honestly, I look at my corn, I don't know if it's going to be 230 or 250 or 210. I really don't. Well, the difference between 210 and 250 is over 40 pounds of nitrogen right there. You see what I mean? So it's a challenge. The other thing is what we found with all the biological nitrogen replacement products, you got to be careful in how you apply them, got to have the right water. And at the moment, when nitrogen is relatively commercial, nitrogen fertilizer is relatively cheap, that is the cheapest way to go. That's what we found, at least at this point.
All right. Thanks for the question. Just looking for fast ones here for you, Brian, so we can get one in here before we go. Okay, Justin had a question. Justin's had several questions on soil tests. So first of all, thanks, Justin, for following us and for trying to work to make your farm better. He said, I'm curious about your nutrient ratios you often talk about. Do you post them anywhere, or where would you find a source like that?
No, we don't.
Just on our videos and shows like that. That's it.
Yeah, and at our workshops. And here's part of the reason why, because it takes a little bit of explanation. So we talked about ratios of phosphorus to zinc, phosphorus to copper here just a little bit earlier today. Well, you got to take this. Here's the thing. Every lab tests things differently. So I can't promise you that your lab with your tests that you are running on your farm, the ratio is going to be 10 to 1 on phosphorus to zinc. That's what we've found with the tests we're running in our lab and our soils. But there's no exact thing, because you can send your tests, your soil, I should say, to many different labs. They'll probably give you different numbers. So those are kind of our concerns there. But anyway, if you have specific questions for us, just ask us. We're certainly here to help. I'll put it that way. So anything we can do for you, let us know. If you got a specific question, send it in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer, or visit johndeere.com/basic.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's VRAFY.com.
What's the difference between John, who bought Enlist One herbicide and Instinct Next Gen nitrogen stabilizer, and Tom, who bought Enlist One and Instinct Next Gen and used True Choice? Only about $5,000 extra in Tom's pocket. Choose True Choice and get up to 10% back. It's really as simple as that. Start saving at Corteva.com/save more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're taking your calls and questions throughout the show today. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us radio@agphd.com. All right, Brian, Doug over in Illinois sent in a two-pass corn herbicide program from his applicator that he uses. It said, corn on corn is being planted. on manured ground. So late season foxtail followed by water hemp are expected. He's been pretty successful with this program that has a lot of BASF products in it. But he hasn't used HPPDs now for years. Just kind of curious on a few things. Which program for the price and effectiveness of these two do you prefer? And should he alternate modes of action, change rates of anything on here? And also, what about the new product, Certain? Should he try that and go for a one-pass program?
Okay, so first of all, one pass, no way. Number one, manure. Number two, water hemp. Those are the reasons why I'm going to say no. With manure, you typically have way heavier weed pressure. And with water hemp, as I'm sure you are well aware, it can grow up to 2 or 3 inches in a day, and it can put on 1 million seeds per plant. So that's a problem. Darren, did you say this is continuous corn, I hope?
Corn on corn.
Okay. And the reason why I'm asking is program two, he has a double up of HPPD. So I will promise you there will be carryover that would hurt beans next year most of the time. Okay. Program two, he's got Acuron down. Two things I don't like about it. Number one is we've got atrazine in there. I don't like atrazine in the ground. I like atrazine post-emerge. The reason why is all environmental. Atrazine pre-emerge will kill weeds. Don't get me wrong. It's fine. It's just it'll do just as good a job post-emerge in our experience. But we really worry about what happens if you get lots of rain and all of a sudden it leaches down, which atrazine can do. Then it ends up in somebody's groundwater. That gives all of us farmers a bad name. So I love Acuron. I just like it post. I love atrazine. I just like it post. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, in program two, you have the Acuron down and you have Halex over the top. So you've got two HPPDs in the pre-emerge. You've got one HPPD in the post, and that is a lot. That is a lot. So the other issue with that is how are you killing your broadleaves? What else is there? You got HPPD and Roundup and atrazine. So unless you're counting on atrazine to do this amazing job for you on anything the HPPD misses, I'm uncertain about that. I'll put it that way. Program one, you've got Verdict down. Okay, we love Verdict because it's got a group 15, just like what Acuron does, what Halex does, very similar. But the difference is Verdict has a PPO. It's got Sharpen in it. So I like that. Totally different mode of action than the HPPD. Now, post-emerge, you've got some group 15 again, which you do in your other program with the Halex, but you got Status. Status is the most expensive post-emerge broadleaf herbicide. It's also the best. So it all depends on how bad those weeds are. And I usually wait and I see, okay, what am I dealing with here? And I can be flexible. So here's where I'm going with this. When you've got Acuron down, in my opinion, you can't really be flexible. Now you're kind of stuck with Status post-emerge because you want to use two different modes of action. I don't want to use HPPD again because I'm worried about weed resistance and carryover, of course, too. With the first program, when you've got Verdict, now your options are open post-emerge. You can use an HPPD. So in other words, you could get by pretty cheap. You could go with your Halex program if you wanted to, Halex and atrazine, which is fine. Or you could go Status and Roundup and a group 15, which is fine. So it's I'm playing it by ear. So if my weeds aren't too bad and I think, oh, you know what, I'll get by with the HPPD post, then I'd go that direction. So what I'm saying is I'd combine your two programs. I'd go Verdict down. I'd go either Halex or Status with all that other stuff, post-emerge, all depending on weeds, and go from there. Certain, basically what that is, you're talking Verdict that you could spray early post. So that's the biggest hang-up a lot of people have with Verdict is it's got to be sprayed pre. You cannot spray it early post. That's really the only difference that I know of. So I just say I'm fine if you want to use Certain. There's no point in using it, though, if you definitely are going to spray pre-emerge, which we do on our farm. But if you're worried that, ooh, it might get late and I might end up having to go real early post, then I'd go Certain.
Okay. I got a question from HB. It's about carbon and nitrogen ratios. We were talking about that as in soils, if it's 15 to 1 or less carbon and nitrogen ratio, the soil is well balanced. If the C carbon to nitrogen ratio is over 30 to 1, you need to put on a lot more nitrogen to try to break that residue down and feed all those microbes. Yeah. He's wondering, how do I find the carbon and nitrogen ratio of dry wheat grain and dry field corn, just the grain? Well, I would assume you could send that to the lab, just like send we do with our soils. So,
but wait a second. Dry field grain.
Dry field corn grain.
Yes.
So just the dry grain.
Right. So why do you have a bunch of grain on the ground?
No, it's not about... I don't fully understand the question.
Why he's asking it.
Yeah, I get why you. Are you asking, why do you want the C to N ratio of the grain? I'm not exactly sure, but I would say just send it into the lab.
Yes, they'll tell you.
They should be able to tell you that. Okay, got a herbicide question here from Wesley over in Illinois. He said, last fall we put Roundup and 2,4-D in the form of LV6 out there. Did a nice job. We're in no-till. But things are starting to green up here in March.
Yep.
So our local supplier suggested a spray plan.
Okay.
Pre-emerge, he suggested Zidua Pro plus 2,4-D plus Roundup. Then post-emerge, Enlist One plus Everprex plus Ceridian.
I don't know what either of those other two are.
Everprex?
Oh, Everprex. Yeah, thank you.
It says. Reading it here.
Yeah, okay. Everprex, yep. And?
Okay.
So basically dual.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And he said, when I hit them up with the three pre's, Prowl, Metribuzin, Authority, they pointed out that emerged mare's tail will not get killed, and I understand that. I suppose I might be looking at a burn down with that.
Sure.
So what are your thoughts about making sure the mare's tail and water hemp don't get ahead of us before planting? We usually don't finish bean planting, though. Until June, most years. I'm wondering why, Wesley. Why does it take that long? Is it double crop, perhaps?
Maybe you need some tile. Anyway.
So, yeah, it sounds like you might need some more tile.
Okay, here's the problem that we have with Zidua Pro. Zidua's fine. That's a group 15. I don't care which group 15 you use. They're all pretty similar. Zidua's a really good one, though. You got Pursuit in there. Why do you need Pursuit? I mean, what weeds is he trying to kill with Pursuit? That's an ALS herbicide. And a lot of the weeds are resistant to ALS. So unless you've got, let's say, wild buckwheat and black nightshade in massive amounts, because it's a very high rate of Pursuit in the Zidua Pro, where I'm to the point where I'm really worried about carryover, I don't know why you're throwing that in. And with Sharpen, you can only use 1 ounce. It's not going to give you hardly any residual. So I don't like the program at all. I just don't like Zidua Pro if you tell me water hemp and mare's tail are my two main concerns. It's not going to kill the weeds. So we got to do something else. And that's where the three pre's are going to work great for you. And the three pre's aren't going to cost you hardly any more money than Zidua Pro. And you still throw the 2,4-D in and Roundup if you need to.
Okay, here's the other thing, Brian. When you look at the post programs, you've got Enlist One, which would be a 2,4-D. Then you've got Metolachlor, a group 15. And you've got Ceridian, which is a clethodim. So I understand what you're doing there. You got volunteer corn control. You got some additional grass and small-seeded broadleaf residual control going in with the 2,4-D. But you could also throw in Liberty at that point if you're planting Enlist soybeans.
Or you just use Liberty by itself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's in a separate pass.
That's what I'm saying. If you've got big water hemp, that's as good as anything if you go 43 ounces of Liberty.
But here's my concern. You go the Zidua Pro 2,4-D Roundup, I don't think there's enough residual to hold everything down for the weeds you're after that you're going to be able to get by on this one pass of Enlist One and Everprex and Clethodim. You're going to have to do Liberty also. So anyway, no, I'm doing the three pre's, 2,4-D, Roundup if necessary, along with those. On our farm, we like to get the three pre's out as early as we can, and then sometimes we don't even need a burn down, unless you got mare's tail, of course, I get that. And then hopefully you can get by with one shot post. But yes, Darren brings up a great point. Enlist beans, you got Enlist One or Liberty, both great broadleaf options. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Higher yield potential starts with the season-long systemic disease protection of Xyway brand fungicides from FMC. Xyway brand fungicides protect corn crops from key foliar diseases and support physiological benefits that help develop healthier, higher-yielding corn for a difference you'll appreciate at harvest. Visit your FMC retailer for an at-plant advantage. Always read and follow all label directions.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's V-R-A-F-Y.com. For the smallest investment with the biggest impact on yield, upgrade your planter with Germinator closing wheels from Farm Shop MFG. To see how we stack up against the competition at a fraction of the cost, call us at 712-520-6051.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior strip tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at soilwarrior.com.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more? Precisely. Find an agroliquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us like Brian from Pennsylvania did. It's radio@agphd.com. Brian's question, have you guys ever had or seen a perfect soil test? Or were all the numbers fit accordingly to the upcoming crop and yield goal?
No. Have you?
Oh, boy. There's always something that people are working right on. And it's just such a moving target because you're growing something out there every year.
Well, wait. No, it's not a moving target. The target's always the same. The numbers, though, are moving. Yes, I agree with you 100%. And that's the challenge is – and here's the other thing. So – we were doing a meeting, I don't remember when this was, 3 weeks ago, with a group of farmers. And so Rob Fritz, he's an agronomist, been on the show sometimes, and I were going through some things, and I was running the little calculator. And we get all done, and we had this comment about, well, okay, this was one spot in the field. This is the one soil test you had. How about for all the soil tests you have? It's like, look, this is literally the process that you have to go through. You've got to evaluate each soil test and what you need to do to maximize yield. And keep in mind, I mean, we're always thinking about costs and profitability and all that kind of stuff. But this is where computer programs come in really nice, because you don't want to just do blanket rate across the whole field, one set rate, flat rate across the field. No field should you ever do that. I mean, unless, of course, it's a really low rate that it's going to be, and you're going to supplement with other things later. So, for example, like in our farm, we're running 200 pounds of ammonium sulfate on a whole bunch of stuff, and then we do a variable rate on top of that to get the nitrogen and the sulfur where it needs to be. But I'm just saying, you need to run some kind of computer program so you can get it, so you can variable rate going all across the field to get it to wherever, whatever you're after, because your yield goal is probably going to vary in different areas of the field, and your soil test are going to vary depending on each area of the field. If you do choose to just say, well, I'm going for 200 bushels across the board, and well, I'm just going to spread this flat rate fertilizer all across the board, I just often think about, Darren and I were in Ukraine 18 years ago. Now, thankfully, we're not there today. But when we were there, we found a lot of people that were farming 25,000 acre chunks, all exactly the same. Same fertility, same planting population, same herbicide, same tillage, same everything, all across 25,000 acres. Who's going to win if you have to farm something all the same on 25,000 acres? Or, like in our farm, we have every acre different. And you might say, oh my gosh, that's too much work. No, it's not. It's a computer program. And then you take variable rate stuff, whether it's planting population, yield the fertilizer application rate, heck, even when we start talking about spraying for white mold, we've got that variable rate too. So some areas it turns on, some areas it turns off. It's computer program. It's not that tough. With modern technology, we can do it. So when I am farming by the acre, I can be way more efficient with all my expenses, and I can get a lot more profitability, a lot more yield compared to the person that's going to run flat rate on everything, and that's just the way it is. So there is great technology out there, and what I'm saying is I encourage you to use it. It will help you.
All right. Thanks for the question. Gerald had a little feedback. He was watching something that we'd put out about plant growth hormones, and he said, I'm curious about L-tryptophan and about lysine. I just wonder if it's good or bad. And L-tryptophan, of course, an amino acid, and lysine, the same thing. And they have different purposes inside the plant. We're seeing a lot of different amino acid products come onto the naturals market. Some are starting to talk about which amino acids are in there. Most of them talk about where they were derived from, whether they're a soybean base or something else. So I think there's a lot more work to be done on this as far as which specific ones are making a big difference. With plant growth hormones, I think that research maybe is a little bit more out there and available over the last couple of decades. But specific amino acid strains, Brian, I guess I haven't seen a whole lot of. I mean, I can read stuff online that, oh, this is involved in this process, but haven't seen a lot in terms of what is a yield response or those types of things.
Right. We haven't done that work on our farm or in any of the research stuff we do in these area states around here. We spend a lot of time and a lot of dollars on research. Haven't tested those couple of things, so I don't know.
All right. Just an amino acid question in general. This one comes from Evo, who says, I'm curious, does it have an effect to put amino acids with the planter in a 2x2 rather than foliar applications? And yeah, it sure can. Amino acid production in plants takes a lot of energy, and adding them during critical times of rapid development, like planting time, can help with seedling vigor and root development, those types of things. We do see a lot of these amino acid products getting put out there right in
yes.
the furrow in addition to the
yes,
foliar.
Yes, we do. But the problem is a lot of times we don't see massive yield gains. I mean, sometimes it's pretty good. But my point is I'm not investing $20 an acre. If I can invest $2 or $4 an acre, okay, now I'm interested. So that's one of the biggest things that we're going to tell you whenever you're trying new biologicals or naturals or plant growth hormones, amino acids, any of that kind of stuff. Don't spend very much money. Try it on a smaller scale and or just spend a few dollars rather than lots of dollars, because in our experience, spending the lots of dollars hasn't paid very well.
All right, I got this one in from Sebastian down in Mexico. He said, I really enjoyed your soils clinic and corn workshop this winter. Thanks for the insight you gave me on fertility and management. And I've had a few conversations with some of the agronomists and so forth who recommended sending you guys the soil tests. So I'm sending you my soil tests, and also with a few questions here, because I had a big difference. I did a test strip where I put on no dry starter fertilizer application, okay. And it looked a lot healthier than the corn right beside where I did use a conventional starter fertilizer application. I banned in dry dirt underneath the row a month and a half before planting. And it was a 14 bushel difference on corn, both very good yields.
Wait, so which was 14 bushels?
It's better where he didn't put the fertilizer on.
Okay.
So it's quite a bit of fertilizer.
Oh, yeah. That's my question.
375 pounds of fertilizer.
Of what, though?
160 pounds of 1152.
Yep.
89 pounds of ammonium sulfate. 53 pounds of potassium sulfate. 35 pounds of K-Mag. And 44 pounds of elemental sulfur. He's got furrow irrigation. And then later in the season, 800 pounds of urea.
Okay.
So he said, my question is, what am I doing wrong with this starter mix that could be hurting my yield?
Well, how far under?
Oh. He doesn't say how far under. He just says he's putting it out a month and a half ahead of planting. But here's the soil test results, and you can kind of see what kind of soil it is.
Yeah, light soil. Let's see. Just looking at what his numbers are here. Anyway. What we always worry about, keep in mind, fertilizer is salt, and too much salt is going to hurt plants. Too much salt can burn off roots. So I'm very concerned anytime I am banding, I got to be careful where I'm banding at and what I'm banding exactly. So on our farm, we will do strip till in the fall, so 6 months in advance of planting, roughly, or 4-5 months probably in advance of planting, and we're going 8 to 10 inches deep, so it's 6 to 8 inches below the seed. Otherwise, we've also done some stuff where in the spring we'll strip till with a coulter and we'll go below the seed 2 to 4 inches, and usually we're running a little bit lower rate, and we're typically just running P and K, so like 1152 and potash. So what could hurt in here? Could the MAP hurt? Sure. Ammonium sulfate? Yeah, a little bit. Potassium sulfate? A little bit. Not as bad as potash, but yes, still could hurt. K-Mag? Absolutely could hurt. Elemental sulfur? Definitely could hurt. So you see where I'm going with this. You got five different things, a lot of fertilizer, if it's close to the seed, and especially if you didn't get rain. So that's really the kicker here. If you would have had, let's say you're in our area and you had heavy soil, and let's say you were you got a bunch of spring rain in that month and a half, it would have probably lessened some of that salt load and hurt you a lot less. So this is also why a lot of people broadcast instead of band. We'll talk a little more about it right after this.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car, steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Invita. Invita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Invita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Invita fits your farm. Invita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Invita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, Talk openly and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health. Through awareness, guidance, and action, together we can uproot the stigma.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Brian Hefty, along with my brother Darren. We're live in the Morton studio in an Ag PhD mailbag show. If you've got a question for us, just email us, radio@agphd.com. So right before the break, we were talking about this question that Sebastian from Mexico sent in, and where he'd put fertilizer on, it actually hurt his yield by 14 bushels. That's not good. We can't have that. And the reason why, we believe, is because he had banded a heavy rate of fertilizer right below where that seed was planted, probably didn't get rain, and we know it's light soil. Well, it actually can't be that light soil. It's low organic matter soil. Let me correct that. It's fairly heavy soil with low organic matter. But anyway, our concern is always the salt load. Salt is a killer in the short term. That's what we're worried about. The salt eventually will leach away. We're not that worried long term. We're also not nearly as worried when fertilizer is broadcast. Now, you can get better efficiency when you band fertilizer. In other words, let's say you do it right below where that seed is planted, like we do with strip till. The thing I like about it is the roots are going to find it. You are going to extract a lot of that fertilizer this year. And usually, like for us, when we deep place the fertilizer 8 to 10 inches deep, now in a drought situation, we're in great shape because we have a little bit heavier soil, and down a little bit deeper, we have a much better chance to have moisture even in that drought. So it's great if your plant gets moisture in, but if it can't get nutrients in along with the moisture, well, you know what happens to yield. So since nutrients have to go in with moisture, that's why we like that deep down where the moisture would be, or at least more light would be more likely to be. Anyway, in this case, I don't know how deep he put it below where that seed was planted. Our guess is not very deep. So if it was just deeper, then I think he'd be in pretty good shape. That's my biggest thing. Also, when we look at products like sulfur, boron, and especially nitrogen, we like broadcasting those because they're going to move in the soil anyway. Your roots are probably going to find them. The products that we usually talk about banding are the ones that are pretty immobile in soil. Things like phosphorus, zinc, copper, and then potassium to some degree as well if you don't have lots of rain and you have heavier soil. Now, with the zinc and the copper, you got to be real careful because here's where I'm going with this. With phosphorus, well, just like in his case here, he put 160 pounds of MAP on. That's very common. A lot of people put 160 pounds of MAP on. If you screw it up a little bit, 20 pounds one way or the other, no big deal. Okay. With copper or zinc, and our concern with banding those, and I just said, yeah, I would at least consider banding those. The concern there is if you overdo it by a pound or two, or 10 pounds especially, now you got a massive problem. So we don't want to take any of those micros and way overdo it. A lot of people talk about boron, that it's toxic. Well, guess what? Zinc can be toxic. Copper can be toxic. Anything can be toxic, just like in this case. I would say the fertilizer that was applied to some degree was toxic if it actually hurt yield. So we always have to be thinking about that and what we're doing. So yeah, I'd probably in the future do some banding. I try to go deeper, and then my nitrogen, sulfur, boron, any of those leachables, I'd definitely just be broadcasting. That'll safen things up.
All right, thanks for the question. Get this one in from CB, who says, I know that mites are different from insects, but what makes them different that they would need a miticide that insecticides don't really work? Well, insecticides do work on mites, especially adults and nymphs in a lot of cases, but they don't work on the eggs. And a lot of times the insecticides run out of gas before those eggs hatch, and then the eggs hatch, and you've now killed off all the predators and competitors for those mites.
Wait, though. That's a very blanket statement. Very few insecticides will kill mites.
I agree with you.
Capture and Lors Van, sure. But most of the rest of them, no. So what makes it different? Without going into a big chemistry lesson, I don't know exactly. I'm not going to, you know, go all through that, how I explain it very simply. But it's just, it works on something different. So it's the same thing with, you know, why does one herbicide kill water hemp and another one doesn't? So I don't know how to explain all that and to give you all the little details. Just understand that there are miticides, there are insecticides, and then there are some products, like Darren said, that are both an insecticide and a miticide.
All right. Speaking about insecticides, Gregory sends in a question. I had blister beetles in my alfalfa last year.
Okay.
What is the best thing to spray blister beetles with in alfalfa? Well, I mean, there are several products that could be used. Bifenthrin and Mustang Max are probably the most common ones.
In alfalfa. In alfalfa, you're not going to be using bifenthrin. So typically what people are doing, Mustang Max is about the cheapest thing that there is out there. I don't know that people are using bifenthrin in alfalfa.
Bathroid gets used a lot. That would be effective too.
Yeah, but that's one of the cheap pyrethroids. A second generation pyrethroid. But anyway, yeah, Mustang Max, because it's got a 3-day pre-harvest interval, that's the most common in alfalfa. I'll just put it this way. We're scouting our alfalfa before every cutting, about, call it, 10 days to 2 weeks in advance. We're typically spraying right after we scout. So that way we can spray just about whatever we want. We're good to go. We don't have any problems. But yeah, blister beetles, the poison that's in there, cantharidin?
Cantharidin.
Yeah,
yep.
Cantharidin. So it only takes an animal, a few of those, and even a big animal like a horse, especially a cow, only a few blister beetles. If they eat those, they're dead. So you got to be careful about blister beetles. If you see any blister beetles in your alfalfa, use spray.
All right, thanks for the question. Got a couple nitrogen ones here that came in online. One question says, I've got 5% organic matter and I farm in a 100 bushel corn environment. Do I need to use any urea at all?
Say that one more time.
5% soil organic matter,
yep.
100 bushel corn yield goal. Do I need to use any additional nitrogen, or will the soil provide everything I need?
Well, I would test my soil first. Here's the problem. Soil organic matter is going to release slowly over a long period of time. It's not there today, but you might have carryover nitrogen from whatever crop you last planted. So that's the reason why you would, you may have to put some nitrogen on, is because you don't have enough carryover to get the plant started, and the organic matter, you're not going to have a bunch of nitrogen coming out of that till probably late June, July, something like that. Hey, I want to go back to your bifenthrin thing, Darren, just so people are clear, because you said bifenthrin can be used in alfalfa. That's only alfalfa seed production, not for forage use. So that's why you got to use the second generation pyrethroids like Mustang Max and Bathroid, products like that, Warrior.
Okay. Another nitrogen question. If I have peat ground that has 18% organic matter, how do I make a nitrogen recommendation there? Do I need any at all?
Okay. We typically talk about 20 to 30 pounds of nitrogen in our region that we will get out of each 1% of organic matter. However, when you have peat soil that is 18% organic matter, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about tie-up in that. I'm concerned about root growth and proliferation in that sometimes, and compaction. I got a lot of worries. So I'm not going to go out on a limb and say, oh, yeah, you can still expect 20 to 30 pounds for every percent of organic matter, even in 18% organic matter soil. I would want to be testing that for a few years before I go any further. So here's how I would do that. I would put basically a small amount of nitrogen out to get the season started. And then I would be doing a nitrate test. And like for me, I like extensive testing. So every week or two, I just go pull a couple nitrate tests. It costs $5. It's no big deal. So literally, if you did it every week in two different spots in this peat soil, then for $10 a week, you're going to have all this data by the end of the summer, and you're going to see how much nitrate is there, how much got released out of that soil organic matter.
All right. Thanks for the question. We appreciate that. We'll be back taking more of your calls and questions right after this. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Your farm data platform might let you manage your fertilizer plan by helping you set sample points, determine management zones, or create fertilizer recommendations. With Verify, you can do all that. But what Verify does that no one else can is take yield data straight from your combine, correlate this info to soil test points, and immediately generate variable rate fertilizer maps based on your nutritional goals. Whether you want to build soil levels, balance your field for uniform nutrition, or maintain fertility levels by simply applying what you removed at harvest. And with full integration with John Deere Operations Center, Verify can send recommendations directly to application equipment, no matter the color. Sign up for your Verify account today at verify.com and keep your farm moving. That's VRAFY.com.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications. All without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad-spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on army worms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us radio@agphd.com.
I thought we were just doing questions today, Darren, off all our email stuff, but whatever. I'm happy to take a phone call if we get one.
Absolutely. Right. Okay, another question came in from JB about nitrogen. How much 28% nitrogen liquid are you using as a pre-emerge carrier?
And I assume this is for our farm. We do lots of different things.
Well, okay, let's just say you were only putting N out. Well, then you can do variable rate. And we love variable rate nitrogen. Yep. But a lot of times if you're saying here a carrier, that means you're putting it out with something that needs to be at a flat rate, like
herbicide.
A herbicide, for example.
Yep. So I am just fine if it's 7 gallons. Okay? So we'll go as low as 7 gallons. Could we go 10 or 12? Sure. If we go 15 or 20 sometimes, that's fine too if we want to get a little more nitrogen out there. But we like running lower rates. We can get over more acres faster. We do that pretty commonly. So 7 gallons is kind of our minimum carrier rate. I'm always going to caution you whenever you're mixing anything together with fertilizer, please do jar tests because you don't want to end up with a whole tank of sludge. We've had it happen. Not super fun. Nobody wants to clean that out. So test stuff first and just keep in mind if something isn't mixing well, there are other things you can do. You can just switch to water as the carrier. You could use part water and part fertilizer. We've done that before. You can pre-slurry stuff. You can use a compatibility agent. Lots of different ways to handle that. Just be careful.
All right. A series of questions here from Andrew, who is up in the northern Red River Valley, North Dakota. He would be on the North Dakota side. So he said, I got a few questions here about pinto beans.
Yeah.
I recently read how dry beans do actually fixate some nitrogen like a soybean, but not as much. Do you know what percentage of N they can produce? I've read 40 to 45%. A lot of times I've heard 40% or even less if the soil conditions aren't ideal. And you sent a soil test. We'll talk about that in just a second. What's your suggestion for nitrogen fertilization for pinto beans? This field will get grid or zone sampled this spring. A lot of the university recommendations are putting on 100 to 125 pounds of nitrogen in addition to whatever those beans will fixate. I look at the AgPHD fertilizer removal app. It says the crop removal is 3 pounds of nitrogen per bushel of yield goal. So if you're shooting for 50 bushel beans, that's 150 pounds you'd need. So we can start with that as we need 150. You're going to produce some of that, and you may have to apply some nitrogen depending on what you got on your test. Also, he said, this land is land that I just bought. So besides drain tile, what would be the next steps to improving this land based on the soil test? And could I use 20% solubor with my pre-emerge herbicides to build boron levels? And if so, how far can I push that rate?
Okay, first thing is when I look at the soil test, it has a massive drainage issue. Here's how I know this. Your sulfur is off the charts. With this lab in particular, I know that they don't give you readings above 120 pounds for every 6 inches of soil. So you very well might have 1,200 pounds for every 6 inches. I don't know. Call the lab, though. They should have the actual data. I wish they'd tell you the actual data, but it's bad. Also, your chloride level, 1,260 pounds per acre. That also is at a limit, and I believe that that number is more. So both of those things are leachable.
So let me ask you this question. Let me ask this question, Brent. So you're in the northern Red River Valley. Would you just say, you know what? I don't care if I get it farmed this year or not, now that I own this ground.
Whoa.
I'm just going to tile that thing and get it done this year so I can move forward.
No, I'm going to.
And plant a crop late.
Well, okay. Maybe it's soybeans. Now you're in another thing. I mean, planting late. But, I mean, we had time here just a little bit ago. And I don't know how it is now in that area, but I know that it was a warm spring or warm winter. Frost didn't get as deep as normal. There were guys out tiling just about year-round, even way up north. So the tiling could be done. It's just you got to say, look, I don't care what else I do. I'm getting this tile in the ground because I need it so desperately. Your soluble salts are off the charts. All these leachable things are off the charts. Fix the drainage, and a lot of other problems are going to start to go away. Also, your cation exchange capacity is not real. What I mean by that is it says 47. I'll promise you, you do not have a 47 cation exchange capacity. What you have is free lime in your soil. That will start to dissipate along with that sulfur and the chloride when they are all flushing out. So will some of that excess lime that you've got. Your cation exchange capacity, I don't know what it actually is, 25, 30, something like that. So I'm guessing it's heavy, but it's not nearly as heavy as it appears. So this is throwing things off. Plus, there's all kinds of excess magnesium. So you just have all these excesses. You can flush them out over time, over the next 20 years, but you got to get that drainage fixed. So that's the dollar that I'm spending first. Do that. Okay, so on top of that, once, so if I said, all right, I'm spending the money, I'm getting her done, now I'm going to go on to the next thing. Honestly, this is pretty decent. You've got almost 500 parts per million of potassium, and I realize it says 2.6 base saturation K, but again, your calcium and magnesium, the calcium mainly, it's not real. There's a bunch of excess out there that's going to flush out. But your potassium, when you're at 500 parts per million, I'm feeling pretty good. So if you add more K, can it help you? Possibly, but I don't think I'm going nuts. Your phosphorus, we're running an Olsen test here at 25 parts per million, so I don't know exactly what you have, but you probably don't have enough. So if it's me, what am I going to spend money on? I'm gonna put my money into the tile. I'm obviously going to put nitrogen on for any crop that I need to raise. For the boron that you asked about, you're already at 2.4 parts per million. We usually say 1/1000th of your calcium level is as far as you could go. You're at 6,000 parts per million on calcium, but again, I think part of that's not real. You're probably realistically at 4,000 that's actually attached to the soil, just as a guess. So could you push the boron to 4 parts per million? You probably could, but when you're already at 2.4 parts per million, I don't know that that's going to help your yield. I'd rather see you push the zinc a little bit and push the copper a little bit, because those are both around 1 part per million. Those need to be higher. So if it's me, I'm spending my money on phosphorus, zinc, copper, but the vast majority of my money, it's going to tile.
All right, speak about tile. This question came in from NC. Why is tile called tile and not pipe? Well, the original drain tile was made from tiles of fired clay. And so a lot of times people say, I have old clay tile in the ground. That's because we haven't really had plastic tile for all that long. So it used to be clay tiles that were out there in the field and still are in many cases. All right, this one came in from PD. He said, you guys talked about Heat Shield, a natural that has fungal endophytes. You've talked about in New Zealand, you ran into seed production where they were using more fungal endophytes. Are there other products out there that you could speak about or talk to? Not really, PD. That's the only one that I am aware of, but I'm sure there are others out there too. But that's the only one that we're using on our farm right now. Any others that come to mind for you, Brian?
Nope.
Yeah, not a ton here, but yeah, you can do some more research online. There are definitely more products out there worldwide. Todd had a question. He said, guys, since I started listening to you guys and following your advice, got a pretty good program here for taking care of weeds and improving soil health. I've got a great stand of hay and pasture, so much so that I have an excess of good quality hay. Is there a way that I can test my hay to show the quality so I can truthfully sell it as high quality weed-free hay?
Well, I don't know that you're going to be able to test the weed-free portion, but as far as the nutrition portion, absolutely. So it just depends on who you're trying to market this to. But yeah, so call around to a couple, three different testing labs and see what they would normally suggest for you. But there are plenty of tests that could be run so you can prove digestibility. You can prove how much actual nutrition like P and K and things like that are in the plants. So yes, you can certainly test and that will help you.
Well, we had a lot of questions that have come into the Ag PhD mailbag.
And we have a bunch more. Aren't we doing another mailbag show tomorrow to try to get caught up?
We've got more to get through. If you have a question, I know a lot of times for many farmers, they're much more comfortable asking a question by sending in an email rather than talking about it on the radio. That's fine. Either way is fine with us. You can always send us an email, radio@agphd.com. We would love to help out however we can. You also heard we had plenty of soil tests and other types of analysis and pictures that came in. That's great. If you get some of that background that we could take a look at as well, it just helps us make a better recommendation. Thanks for listening to our show today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.